Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. The Climate Change Advisory Council has said the government should do more to help people install heat pumps to make their houses more energy efficient. It also says something which is remarkable when you think about it. 78% of residential buildings, they say, are technically suitable for heat pumps without any further energy efficiency improvements. The council says 50,000 state-supported retrofits were done last year, but just 7.5% of those involved a heat pump, which seems very low. For more on this, I'm joined by Stephen Matthews, who's Green Party TD for Wicklow and spokesperson for planning and local government. We'll speak with Sean Moynihan, who's CEO of Alone, the older persons agency, in just a second. But Stephen Matthews, can I turn to you first of all? And you're very welcome to the programme. Is that a fair critique, in your opinion, just as a general reaction, first of all, that the government should be doing more?
Yeah, good evening, Cormac. Look, I have a lot of time for the Climate Change Advisory Council. They've done excellent work, and I do take their advice seriously, and I take the research that they've done seriously. I'd agree with them on a number of points that they raised in relation to heat pumps, about kind of raising the kind of knowledge that's out there about what heat pumps can do. And I'd also agree with them on about increasing the grants to help people to do it and to make it simpler. No argument from me on that score.
And in terms of the targets as well, I just wonder why the grants haven't been increased before now, or knowledge and advice hasn't been increased before now. Because when you look at the targets, the climate action plan that you have promises to put heat pumps into 45,000 existing and 170,000 new dwellings by 2025. We're not too far away from it now. Are we close to those targets?
Well, look, it's... It's not a very new technology, but it's new to a lot of people. And, you know, if you describe what a heat pump is to somebody, you've got to go through that process of explaining what it does. And I think there's probably a little bit of kind of new technology and a slow take up on it. But, you know, we are seeing nearly every single new house that's been built with a heat pump installed into it. You know, that's the way we're going forward. By the European Energy Building Directive, we are going to have to really step up and increase the energy efficiency of our housing. We've got to cut our emissions. We know that. But it's a relatively new industry. Like, we don't have enough heat pump installers in this country at the moment. And that's where we're training more apprentices, and that's why we're training more plumbers and heating fitters. And that's why we've also provided a grant for those plumbers to avail of training to fit heat pumps. So there's a 500 euro grant now for them.
If we don't have, though, if I can jump in there for a second, if we don't have the people to install them, how do you expect to hit the targets? Because even your social housing targets, can I put this to you? Mary Donnelly was saying she's quite concerned about 150,000 social houses in Ireland, but only 2,000 to 3,000 were being retrofitted a year, she said. I mean, we're way off the mark, aren't we?
We're heading in the right direction. You know, if you look at the capacity out there within the industry to install it, if you just increase the grants, that doesn't mean you're going to get more heat pumps fitted. What you might end up doing is driving up the actual cost of installation, more money chasing a limited supply. So that's why we're taking it very seriously to train people to do it properly. Some of the issues around heat pump installation is where you have people who are not that familiar with fitting them, don't set them right, not calibrated properly, and somebody gets a kind of a negative experience then from heat pumps. But I've been in new local authority built houses down in Wicklow, lots of them been built down there, and the heat pump setup, the energy efficiency levels are absolutely fantastic. People are going to live in warm, comfortable houses where they're not afraid to turn on the heating.
Too few of them. I might bring in Sean Moynihan of Alone here. Stay with me, Stephen Matthews. One texter, for example, the 51551 says, a heat pump, 20k, minimum oil, 1k per year. Is it worth it? Says that listener. Sean Moynihan of Alone, it's a new technology for an awful lot of people, says Stephen Matthews. Is that the main reason, or one of the main reasons, why people aren't going for heat pumps in more numbers?
Well, I think really the big issue is to do with the wider grants and energy poverty. Do you know what I mean? And the reality is that, you know, say for us, we worked with 39,000 people last year, and around 30% of them came to us because of finance issues. And the highest issue was the ability to pay utility bills and to pay that. But older people live in the lowest BER rated housing. But the take up of grants, according to even the SEAI's reports, is that only 16% of the energy grants are going to energy poor households or people who can't afford it. So ultimately is the systems are bureaucratic and administrative heavy, and ultimately then people fall out of them and ultimately then don't avail of what might be available to
them. So simplify the process and you might have some chance. Is that it?
I think it is. Like, I mean, the ERSI produced a report there that actually says that the lowest income households, young and old, the administrative complexity is the reason for it not accessing retrofits grants. Then also they note that it's a complex and disruptive system. And a quote from the report is, as well, is it's a high degree of hassle. So this is the review from the RSI and from SEAI themselves. Mm. So the point is, you know, people will access the new technology as we go for a just transition if it's made easy for them to access. I don't think anybody designed systems on purpose that they're hard to, but sometimes we can get too bureaucratic in the risk because we're so afraid that maybe 1% of people might get something they're not entitled to, that we really exclude the households that really need it.
Isn't that a real indictment of the grand system we have for heat pumps? And people can text us their own experience to 51551. Stephen Matthews, that's 16%, according to Sean Moynihan, of energy grants went to energy poor households. The rest went to the well-to-do.
Well, I think if you look at the kind of capital funding that goes into it, it's about, we've tripled the capital funding for a start over the last 3 or 4 years, but the vast majority of that goes to the lower income or elderly householders or people in fuel poverty.
How do you make that
That's the figures I have, and that's the figures we have in terms of the retrofit, in terms of the installation, the local authority and the low income homes.
So how is it that 16% of energy grants go to energy poor households, according to Sean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the figures I have is here that warmer homes scheme budget has increased by over 500% in the last 4 or 5 years. But just to get back to the cost issue that Sean has spoken about, I totally agree with Sean. Make it simpler. Like, we've introduced a very, very good energy retrofit scheme, 50,000 homes done per year. But if we if you make it simpler, you know, you'll get more people to buy into.
Why
it,
isn't
but
it
you've
simpler?
Got to support them. I suppose it's a new technology, and I suppose as always you've got to be aware that when it's state and public money, you do have to have accountability and make sure it's done right. But the other thing is you've got to make sure that the standards are done well as well, and that the installation standard is good. But as we scale this up,
yeah,
and as
more
people
just
get
jump in there.
As you scale up and you get more people to do it, you increase the competitiveness and you do drive down the price.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the process is going to be simpler.
Well, it does, because people get more used to applying for now. There's 50,000 people
applied for it.
Hang on a second.
If I may, you can't jump fleetingly away from a problem. People are identifying that the problem is far too complex and far too bureaucratic heavy, in Sean's words. Now, when you have more installers, it doesn't mean the process is going to be simpler. Who's going to refine the process?
I think when you have any new process or scheme, there's always teething problems at the start, and they iron themselves out. So you've got more installers, you've got better standards, people become more used to the process. It's about the scaling up in it as well. And I agree that we should try and make it simpler. I really do agree with that. We make it simpler by maybe reducing that amount of paperwork that's to be done. But as well as that, as you start to get more people in the industry and as the standards improve and as people get better at fitting it then as well, they become quicker.
Okay.
It drives the price down.
Okay, you made that point.
And we're
so why not reduce the paperwork?
Well, you need to have accountability in as well. I mean, it can't be just like tick three boxes and there's your full retrofit grant, you know. What we did introduce, because I'm aware that you can go for these individual energy upgrade aspects to your house and you can do that off your own bat and get your own contractor and apply for the grant. But what we did introduce was the one-stop shops as well, and they're increasing as well, where you can go and the entire thing is done for you from start to finish.
Okay,
and that's expensive and that's costly.
a listener says, quoted €120,000 for the one-stop shop retrofit.
That must be an absolutely massive house. Well, it must be absolutely incredibly huge to have 120. See, you know, not like one. There's not a one fit all here. You could have a terraced house that would be much cheaper. You could have a very large kind of detached house. It depends on the age. It depends on the fabric. It depends on the windows. It depends. Like I was an electrician in a previous life. I worked in attics where there was no insulation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So you've got all these various different age of housing and stock that's out there. But there's
you put
one
your
thing
finger. Put your finger. Let me put this text here from Tom in Westmeath on a problem that he's identified. Heat pumps should not be fitted without making the house airtight. No one told us that, and our annual electric bill is €4,000. Says Tom.
Well, that really does point to, you know, if somebody is engaged in a contractor, you want a contractor to come along and say, look, I could fit a heat pump here for you, but you are going to need to put in attic insulation. You may have to do wall insulation. You may have to change the radiators. You could have this old system of radiators full of rust. You want to put it. So, you know, it very much depends on the type of the house and the condition of that house and okay. the age of the house that you're dealing with. But there's one thing, if we could go back to the elderly people there
I promise I'll come back
moment.
To you. I want to go back to Sean on the, and I promise I will come back to you, Stephen. But even listening to Stephen Matthews there, in terms of the work that has to be done, Sean, the attic has to be insulated. The walls might have to be insulated. The radiators, all of them might have to be changed. And I just wonder, for an older person looking at this, they might think, will I recoup any of this investment at all?
Look, I think this is the challenge of it. I suppose, why is this important to a lot of older people? Is that unfortunately is it's a public health issue, access to energy. You know, the reality is it puts people at risk of mortality and physical and mental health issues. And that's the reality. We have a terrible thing called excess winter deaths. And then there is a scheme where ultimately those who apply for the National Fuel Allowance go, and it's a good scheme, but go back to bureaucratic. It takes 2 years. It's got that bureaucratic burden. It's got that complexity. It's got a means testing on it, and it's got waiting lists. So the reality of it is your chances are people are not going to enter into something that takes over 2 years and ultimately has this level of complexity with it that you can't really guide yourself through it. And so we accept that the government is increasing the spending. We accept that ultimately some of these schemes are far improved than where they are. But the point is it's about getting those who need it, getting it to those who are most at risk. Even in the Poverty Action Plan in 2022, there was a £10 million fund to support those in energy poverty to distribute. To us, none of that money was ever distributed to those most at risk. Okay. So I think it's the distribution and the application of what is a policy desire in getting it into operation in a way that it gets to those that need it the most.
Let me read some of the text before I promise I'll come back to you, Stephen, and I will. If your house isn't fully thoroughly insulated, a heat pump doesn't pay. You'll need to boost heat in the winter, says one listener. Another, heat pumps. We live in a new build. We can't turn the heating down. The houses are like saunas. The biggest regret is picking a house with this system. It needs full air conditioning to cool down. We're cooking in this house, says that listener. Maybe an awful lot of people would envy you, but I do see your problem. One more. 100-year-old house in Marino, refurbished 3 years ago. Heat pump, new windows and proper insulation. We now have an A-rated living space, pure luxury and an investment for life. Gareth in his mid-50s, it'll be there for others to enjoy after me. Investment in the future, he says. So there are positives. I don't want to be negative, but there are an awful lot of problems here. First and foremost, are you going to increase the grant, Stephen?
I think we should, but you need to be aware that if you increase grants without increasing the capacity to install, you don't actually get a good return on that. So as we scale up the capacity to build to install these, we'll scale up the grant. I hope a future government would do that. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Greens are doing. If you wanted more of that, that's right. But can I just... It's really a point on Sean. So I was toying around with this idea of talking to an elderly person saying, God, will I spend £35,000 to do, you know, retrofit it? Will I get it back? And I thought about the house is paid off, the house is worth a lot of money, but, you know, they're on limited low income. about an equity share, you know, a state-backed equity share of 35,000 houses done up, the person live, people live longer now. You want them to be healthy, you want them to be warm and comfortable and be, you know, not be worried about turning on the heating. Mm. And then when they pass on, and they pass on that house, that 30,000 has increased the value of that house significantly. Okay. That person has been comfortable. Yeah. And I think that's a scheme we need to look at.
On the program yesterday. That's a whole other
kind of work. It's not to do with inheritance. It actually might reduce your inheritance.
Okay, yeah. Stephen Matthews, the Green Party, thank you very much indeed. Sean Moynihan of Alone, thank you as well.